Open your prayerful attention. I'll direct you to the book of Job, chapter 23, and the third verse. The book of Job, chapter 23, and verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. The 23rd chapter of the book of Job and verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. The Lord puts in the hearts of every one of his dear children real living desires. Man by nature has many natural desires, many natural longings, but to the real children of God, he gives desires which are never found in the world or in the ungodly. And here we find in our text a very sweet desire given by the Lord to dear Job. A desire to find a precious Jesus. Now look in your heart and mine this morning, have we the desire that's in our text? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. How is it with us? Is that our soul's longing and desire? Or do we not have it at all? Think how solemn it will be if we come to the close of our life and have never known what it is to have this desire and to find the dear Redeemer. And Job was not only the only one that had this desire. There were those throughout God's holy word that had this same longing and same desire. And let me name one or two this morning. First, we think of the wise men that went to Herod. What was the desire in their heart? They wanted to find the Holy Child Jesus. And what did they say to Herod? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And you see, with dear Job and with those wise men, they were not satisfied until they found him. And if your soul and mine is like them, we shall not be satisfied until we find the dear Redeemer. You see, they couldn't be satisfied with Herod, could they? He was the natural king, but they sought a greater king, King Jesus. And how wonderfully the Lord directed them to where the dear Lord Jesus was to be found. Not in Herod's palace, was it? But in a manger in the stable at Bethlehem. And there they were to find him. And you see, not only were they to find him, to view him with their own natural eyes, their faith found him. You see, faith is drawn to the dear Lord Jesus. He is the centre of the attraction of faith. And faith is attracted to Christ, if I may put it like that. But you see, nothing else could satisfy and can satisfy living faith. It's like we sing in the hymn, "None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good." And then we find that same desire in the spouse in the Song of Solomon, and that is why we read together that third chapter. It's a beautiful chapter, really. We read, "By night on my bed I sought him." We'll look back through last night and the nights of our lives. Have we sought to find him? The hymn writer said, and we hope to sing it at the close, "Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God." Well, the spouse, you see, she was earnest in her seeking. She says, "By night on my bed I sought him." Could it be said of us? There are many things you will seek him for, which we will try and look at later. And we read what he meant to, "Whom my soul loveth." Now examine your heart and mind. Could it be said concerning us, "Whom my soul loveth"? You know, we got an old nature that loves the world, loves the things of time. We're creatures of the earth. But oh, is there in our souls? You notice what she said, "By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth." It was her inmost soul that loved him. And she said, "I sought him, but I found him not." And you know, dear Job was like that in the depths of this trial that he was in. He could not find his God. The spouse, she said, "But I found him not." This didn't deter her, did it, from what her soul's ambition was. Because she couldn't find him, she didn't say, "Well, I can't do anything, I'll just sleep in my bed and rest my life away." What does she say? I will arise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. Oh, she couldn't rest, could she? And you think in your heart and mind today, are we like this? Can we rest? You see, why we need to be so concerned in this vital matter is this, because eternity is before us each. And you think how solemn to come to the hour of death and be lacking in those things that are vital. And here she says, I will rise now. Look at the earnestness in her seeking the Lord. We read, don't we, that they that seek me early shall find me. There's that sweet promise, isn't there, to the seekers, that they that seek shall find. So she arises and goes out into the streets and lanes of the city, into the broad way. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. You know, sometimes the Lord withdraws himself, hides himself from the sinner, to see how they fare, to see how, what they would do. Is your heart and soul like this dear spouse here? The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Oh, you see, she knew that they knew him, these watchmen. And she wondered whether they could tell her where to find him. Now, I want to look at that in a moment. But, oh, look at the earnestness in her heart. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. You think of, and to use a simple natural illustration, those dear children will know if one of the children gets a detached from the family and maybe wanders off, the dear parent will seek and search every passage and every street and every place to find them, won't they? And they won't rest until they do. Now think of it in a far greater way. If we are the children of God, that's what we will be, Lord. The spouse here were. And she found him. Oh, do you desire this morning to find the dear Redeemer? Oh, back to what I quoted, we hope to sing, oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. She says, and it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. And what was the sweet effect of it in her heart? You know, the same thing was found in dear Mary Magdalene when she went up to the sepulchre and found the stone rolled away and Christ had risen, and she wanted to find him, didn't she? Oh, she did. And you know, it's absolutely parallel with the spouse here. And what was the effect when she found him? We read this, I held him and would not let him go. Think of the dear mother or father when they found the child, they hold them, won't they? And they won't want to let them go. And so it is with the real child of God, with their dear Redeemer. I held him and would not let him go. And you look in the case of dear Mary Magdalene, when Jesus spoke to her that precious word that I so often quote, Mary, Immediately she knew him. And what did she want to do? She tries to embrace him. But he said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father and your Father, and unto my God and your God. Well, there are many other cases we could name that this same fervent desire was found in them. You think of those Greeks that came to the Lord Jesus. And what did they say to Philip? Sir, we would see Jesus. Beautiful desire, isn't it? They wanted to see him. They wanted to find him. Look in your heart and mine, are we like them? We would see Jesus. And you know, the Lord wonderfully favoured them to see him. But look at the desire. This has been so much upon me yesterday. Oh, that the Lord, in this solemn dark day, would put this desire in the hearts of many. And maybe those in Hailsham today, if it's his holy will or any other place, to put this desire in them. And they won't be able to rest until they find him. Now, where was dear Job to find his dear Redeemer? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. You see, this is personal. Oh, it is. But before I look at where we might find him, there may be those of you who can look back, like Job could. He could look back and all the sweet times he had had before this great trial, where he'd found his dear Redeemer. You know, Job was so favoured, wasn't he, in those early days. He was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. One of God's dear chosen choice children. But he comes into this great trial. This great sorrow. A real time of testing. Satan let loose. But in it all, in all the darkness he was in, what did he want? To find his dear Redeemer. What do we read on another occasion? The psalmist said, thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. You know, when the Lord hides himself, the sinner can't find him. He hides himself sometimes because of our sin. He hides himself because of our unbelief. He hides himself to make the sinner seek him more earnestly. He hides himself to bring them right down low so they cannot do without him. Are you like that this morning? Oh, that I knew. This is the inmost longing of your heart in that darkness you're in that affliction you're in that sorrow you're in. You want to find him. And why do you want to find him? Because it's only he that can do you good. As I quoted earlier, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. you want to find. And so those of you who are like dear Job, in the depths, let's remember that his dear friends, that are supposed to be good friends to him, but they, you know, gave him ever so much advice, but they couldn't satisfy Job. Oh, no. Sometimes they spoke unwisely to him, foolishly. But, you see, it was the Lord Jesus that he wanted. And why? Because it was he that could deliver him from all the power of Satan. It was he that could deliver him in his providential trial. It was he that could heal his body. It was he that could do him good. This is why he wanted to find him. You think of those that had heard of the Lord Jesus, that he could do sinners good, and how they had to come to him. Oh, it's none but Jesus, you see. Some of the old preachers used to say, have you got a Jesus-only religion? You think of it. Really, he's the sum and substance, and I speak this with much reverence, and all that the child of God needs. No other can redeem them. No other could come into this earth to lay down his precious, their precious life, but it was this Jesus. And lay down his life for his sheep. But let us look at the other side to this. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. But he doesn't leave it there, that I might come even to his seat. Where was Job to find his dear Redeemer? Where will you find him? Well, let's look at a few of the places, as the Lord may help. Firstly, you'll find him in heaven, at the right hand of the throne of God. Find him as the blessed intercessor and mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He sits there to plead your cause and mine before a holy God. And that's why Job said, that I might come even to his seat. You come, poor soul, just as you are. As I often quote, you can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. He pleads on the behalf of sinners. He takes their poor petitions and pleads them before God the Father. What a mercy it is. The apostle could well say that he could praise the Lord and thank the Lord that he had such a great high priest in heaven, the dear Lord Jesus. So have you found him at the mercy seat? And to find him there, he understands exactly how you feel. And he understands your great need to find him. What a mercy it is. The Lord If you look at it in the case of Job, and look at it in your case and mine, the Lord is still on the throne. You know, Satan had great power in the case of Job and in Job's life here at this time, but you know, the Lord was still on the throne. He was controlling everything. He knew exactly how Job felt. He knew all the trial Job was in, all the difficulties, all the onslaughts of Satan. The Lord is everywhere. And he sees everything you're in. Oh, he does. There's not a case that's not known to him. He sits on no precarious throne nor borrows leave to be. Oh, my mind goes to that beautiful 139th Psalm where the dear psalmist spoke of the Lord so beautifully, didn't he? Where he sweetly declares, "Thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts, thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Oh, you think of the wonders of that. Such is our God, you see. But where else was Job to find him? Well, he was to find him in the trial that he was in. You may say, what, in all this, what he was enduring? You know, what make your affliction, your trial, your difficulty, your trouble, the things that you're in, what to make it sweet? It'll be if you find the Lord in it. Oh, it will. That'll make even the bitter sweet. What did the hymn writer say? Although our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret sweetens all. And what is that something sweetening that sweetens all? That something secret that sweetens all is a precious Jesus. It's his sweet presence. Viewing the dear Saviour in what you're in. And what has Job been able to say on another occasion in all this trial? He was able to say this: I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, what a beautiful view Job had of the dear Lord Jesus in that trial. One of the old ministers, the old Puritan, said that Job had the sweetest view of the dear Lord Jesus that ever a soul could have. all those years before his coming. And oh, you look how that sweetness enabled Job to continue. Oh, what a mate then. These things you're in, sweet, it'll be the dear Redeemer, having a glimpse of him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. But then, to us here today, we're favoured with the full gospel. Where will you find him? You'll find him in his word. This is what makes the precious word of God so sweet to the Lord's dear children. You'll find him in the word. How many times when you've been in darkness, you've been in trouble, you've been in affliction, you've been tossed around by Satan, and you've gone to the word of God, and all you've seen in the word is Jesus. That's what makes it sweet. Oh, it is. Having a view of Christ in the word. You see, he is the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, that we might find him more and more in the word. His word, you see. I've told you before that before I joined the church in 63, you know, it didn't matter where I looked in God's holy word. It was full of Christ. Oh, it was. The old Puritans used to say, the Old Testament speaks so much of his coming. And the New Testament is full of Jesus. Oh, it is. You see, it's full of Christ. You look back to those old saints of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so on. They knew what it was to have sweet views of the dear Redeemer. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And then you'll find him too in the preaching of the word. Oh, what a mercy it is to have a Christ exhorting ministry. You know, as one of the Lord's dear servants, I know very well, and I always think when I go and listen to him, he so exalts a precious Jesus, lifts Christ high upon the gospel pole. I know, and I know every God-sent servant should do that. When I first went in the ministry, some of the old ministers, they said to me, there's two things that you've got to preach. The first is the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And the second is the blessed remedy for poor sinners. Preach a precious Jesus. It's sinners that can say, you see, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Oh, it is. And oh, can you look back today? Think of your late dear pastor's ministry, if it was a Christ-exalting ministry. He so often preached of the sufferings of the dear Redeemer. the great cost of our salvation, and how many under his ministry were blessed with some sweet views by faith of a precious Jesus. Oh yes. And may in these dark and solemn dark days in which we live, the ministry ever exhort the sinner to look to Christ. What do we read concerning the last days? You can read it in the Gospels that when those last days come, and Christ so set it forth, didn't he? And what did he say? When ye see these things, like the earthquakes in divers places, the many troubles there will be, of wars and rumours of wars and so on, we could list the whole catalogue. But what does he say? But when ye see these things, what are you going to do? You think about it this morning before I name it. When ye see these things, look up. That's what he exhorted us. Look to Jesus, you see. Look nowhere else. And this is where Job had to come, and where you and I, if we're his dear children, will have to come. To look up. Look to him. Don't look anywhere else. And this is where dear Job had come. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And you see, the Holy Spirit will ever direct the sinner to Christ. Oh, he will. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit's divine aid in preaching. This is where we need the Holy Spirit's divine aid in hearing. And oh, that there may be in each of us this longing and desire. But then, just in conclusion, where else will you find him? Well, there are many places we could name, but I'll just name this in conclusion. You'll find him in the house of God. And this is what makes the house of God a special place to sinners. Oh, it is. We sung of it in our opening hymn, didn't we? There my best friends, my kindred dwell. Not only is it their best friends and kindred that dwell there, it'll be the dear Redeemer. It's sweet, you know, when you can come into the house of God, you lose sight of the poor preacher, you lose sight of those in the chapel, and all you see is Jesus only. You go to the Mount of Transfiguration. And what do we read? When the cloud was lifted up. Now pause a moment. Look at the clouds you may have this morning, that I may have. Those clouds that you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. And when the cloud was lifted up, what did they see? They saw no man save Jesus only. And you know, that's what will make the house of God a very precious spot to your soul. And I'll go further. That's what makes it the house of God to you. And if you see Jesus through the ministry, that's what will make the Lord's servant to you. As Christ is revealed, you see. Oh, may the prayer we often sing, Jesus, reveal thyself to me, be our fervent longing and desire. Well, may the Lord bless the word. Amen.